ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീലാപ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർധാനക്കി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്കി മധുരപുരി ധാമക്കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമക്കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവീത ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനമാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാദ് ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം ഭരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാജ് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവോവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃഗദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ ഗ്രഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാതൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കനികാപി കാപി കാപി നമഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഹിതി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ മന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാധീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ From Ekadasha Skandam, we have been discussing the Navayogis, that means the nine yogis, beginning with Hari, Kavi. Kavi, Hari, Andarishan. Three yogis, they have spoken about Bhagavata Dharmam to King Nimi. Isn't it? They have spoken Bhagavata Dharmam to King Nimi. Initially, Kavi has spoken what is Bhagavata Dharmam. Then Hari has spoken what are the symptoms of devotee. What are the symptoms of a devotee? Then Kavi Hari. Andariksha has spoken about what is Maya. And then the king has asked how to cross over this Maya. That's where we stopped last Sunday. So the discussion came up to this point now that Kavi Maharshi, Hari Maharshi and Andariksha, they have spoken about Bhagavata Dharmam to King Nimi. And in between, Andariksha has spoken about Maya. Maya's great potency, or how she acts as in between us and Krishna. Maya's role in between us and Krishna. That is what we were discussing about. So that is where Prabuddha has spoken that the function of Maya is that Maya creates in us. Maya controls us, and controls us in such a way that she creates different modes of nature, and through modes of nature she controls us. Sattvam, Rajogunam, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. That is what we have seen before. Now, at the end of that, Kavi Maharshi, the Andarishan has said to him, said to Hari, Andarishan has said to King Nimi, that in order to cross over Maya, one should approach a spiritual master. One should approach a spiritual master. And he should understand Bhagavata Dharmam from him. From him, he should understand Bhagavata Dharmam. And a person who has become very serious in spiritual life, or one who is intensely desiring to have that understanding, Krishna sends the spiritual master to him. The principle of spiritual master is an important thing to know. What is exactly the spiritual master's role in the liberation process? And what is the connection between us, between the spiritual master, between Krishna and these relationships? They are very important. Because often, without knowing anything, what is this position of spiritual master, we often get into difficulties. We'll come to that later, because Andarikshan has raised this issue to about crossing over Maya. It was then that King Nimi wanted to know, finally he concluded saying this, that he must approach a spiritual master. He must approach a spiritual master. But while approaching, how to approach a spiritual master, that is also discussed. That's also discussed. How to approach a spiritual master? When does a spiritual master comes in one's life? At what point it happens? And what should be the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master? These are the topics that are discussed by the next personality of Navayogis, Prabuddha. Prabuddha means one who has already woken up from the Maya, who has come out of Maya. Just like somebody has come and he sat down here to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And he slept very well through. And then at the end he woke up after the class. He is Prabuddha. He has woken up from the sleep. So similarly, one who has woken up from Maya, he is also called Prabuddha. Prabuddha means one who has woken up, either from the sleep or from Maya, whatever that is. So one who has woken up from Maya, he is called Prabuddha here. That's why that name Prabuddha has been given to him. So it says here, Mayam Dustaram Sthuladhyaha, that it's such a Maya which is very difficult to cross over. It is such a difficult thing to cross over. So once that has been spoken by Krishna and also by this king Nimi, that both of them agree that Dustaram, it is very, very difficult to get over this Maya because it is such a subtle thing. But why does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita that Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya? So if you want to cross over Maya, if you want to cross over Maya, the only solution to that is to take the shelter of a personality who has already crossed over Maya. Who has already crossed over Maya. That is where the role of spiritual master comes. And that will be explained in the next few verses. So here it is said that we have taken shelter of Krishna. We have not met any spiritual master. We have taken shelter of Krishna. What happens to him then? Initially, nobody knows where to begin with in spiritual life, isn't it? We hear that there is some truth above us who controls everything in this world. That is common intelligence. A man comes to this understanding that there is something higher energy or higher power which keeps this whole system going. The complete material creation, the manifestation, it functions due to some higher intelligence. And let that be any intelligence, it doesn't matter. We don't know anything about him. But when the inquiry begins from a devotee or from a person who wants to know the truth, that person starts inquiring and he approaches that truth with an open heart. He wants to know. But at that point he knows that the path is very, very difficult. It is not an easy path. It's going to be a long drawn path, a long haul towards the truth. Even then, if that person becomes in his mind sincere in his desire, in his inquiry, what will happen is that he has to pray, say to Krishna at that point that I will do everything to get myself into trouble. I'll do everything to get myself into trouble in this world, but you have to look after me. This is the only way he can come out of it. That means he is totally dependent on Krishna's mercy. Just like in the water, if there is no life in the body, what will happen? The body will float, isn't it? The body will float in the water. But as soon as there is life inside, he will go down in the water. Similarly, if Maya enters into our mind, just like the life, Maya enters into our mind, we will go down. Once Maya goes away from us, we will float in this world. We will float in this world without any difficulty. And that is what is called Krishna's mercy. That to be dependent on Krishna, to think that Krishna will protect me in all situations, and to develop that strong faith in Krishna, that is the first step in that direction. When one starts thinking that Krishna is providing everyone, and Krishna will provide every living entity, will not Krishna provide me also my needs? Number one. Number two, in all circumstances, Krishna is going to protect me. This firm faith builds up in a person in a natural way. And that is where Krishna's kripa or mercy is coming in. The example is given like this, that in a very strong wind or cyclone or whatever, a leaf, it floats in that wind. It does not know where it will be, where it's going to go. And that's the way it's going to live in, that current is going to take him. Similarly, if it happens to a living entity, to that situation, his karmam automatically goes away. It drops off. All the karmam drops away from him. The leaf has no desire of its own, where it want to be. Wherever the wind takes, I'll go along. The leaf will go along with it. When such a situation comes to a person, that is surrender. That is surrender. Otherwise, it is not surrender. then all the, if you look into the life of all the great devotees, it is this kripa from Krishna or this mercy from Krishna that has made their life perfect. That has made their life perfect. Ultimately, they have come to that point that whatever happens, I leave that to Krishna. Let Krishna decide what it should be in the future. They have not making any plans anymore in their life. Therefore, therefore, this question of surrendering to Krishna is the first thing before inquiring about a spiritual master. When the surrender happens inside, and when one is increased, and that surrender is getting better, or in other words, only when there is surrender, Krishna makes the next step from that side to bring you to the correct person to whom one has to inquire. Strictly speaking, Krishna, the spiritual master, the individual soul, they are all non-different. When the soul develops strong desire to free from Maya, when the individual soul develops, jiva develops strong desire to free from Maya, Krishna comes in the form of the spiritual master at that point. Externally, he pushes inwards, forces to look inwards. That is the duty of the spiritual master. The first responsibility of the spiritual master is to that person to send the disciple or the devotee to look inwards. From outside he does that. From inside he pulls him in, he pulls inwards. So in other words, the jiva, the soul, the living entity, the spiritual master, Krishna. Krishna comes in all these different situations and they are non-different in that way. That the guru principle is like that. We are thinking guru is a person. Actually, guru is a tattvam. It's a principle behind it. The principle is this, that Krishna comes in the form of a guru to save that person who is inquiring after the truth, whose inquiry is very intense. It is at that time he comes. And when he comes, what he does is, first thing is, these mind and senses which were going out all the time looking for happiness in the world, he shuts them down and sends the person to start looking inwards. Inward looking. That is called, that is the andariksha stage. Andarikshanam. Andarikshanam means to look inwards. So that thought starts coming to him at that point. At that point in the, in his life. And that is where it begins. And outside as spiritual master, he sends him in. And inside as the soul, as a super soul, he pulls him in. From outside somebody is pushes and from inside somebody is pulling. So this is how we become andarmukham. Andarmukham means to look inwards. To give up this looking outward business has to stop at some point. Because the more we engage our mind and the senses in our inquiry after the material elements and material nature, we will be lost in this world. Spiritual advancement won't happen. So therefore, in the Shastram it is said that this shutting down of these activities of the mind and the senses and drawing them back inwards is the first stage in the spiritual life. So, that indeed in that connection we have seen, what did Hari Maharshi say? He categorized devotees into three groups, isn't it? He categorized into three groups. Uttamadhigari, Madhyamadhigari and Kanishtadhigari. That is how he has classified. The first class devotee, the second class devotee and the third class, you can call it, Kanishtadhigari. In three categories he has put them forward. Sarvabhudeshu yappashyel bhagavad bhavamalmanam. That is the first thing of a person. First thing in a person is to make that move in spiritual life is sarvabhudeshu yappashyel bhagavad bhavamalmanam. To see Krishna in bhudane bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottamaha. That bhudane bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottamaha. Sarvabhudeshu yappashyel bhagavad bhavamalmanam. To see Krishna in every living entity, as Krishna's presence in every living entity. Bhagavad Bhavam towards all the Bhudams, all the other, Sarva Bhudeshu, to all other living entities, Bhagavad Bhavam, that they are all Krishna's part and parcel. In other words, Krishna is present in all of them, and that is the first step. And then, Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottamaha, that Bhudani Bhagavatyesha, in all Bhudams, all living entities are in Krishna. That is another thing. In all entities we see Krishna there, and all entities we see in Krishna. In other words, that connection between Krishna and the living entity. Bhudani Bhagavati Shasavai Bhagavadottamaham. So Bhagavata Uttaman, the first class devotee, Uttamadhigari, is that person who has realized this, who is seeing it in that platform, who is in that platform. This is a very important thing. Why? Because from now on you will see that the selection of a spiritual master, or how to approach a spiritual master, and what should be the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, these things comes quite often from now on. And in everywhere, this Uttamadhyari's position, Savai Bhagavadottama, that Sarvabhudeshu Yapashel Bhagavad Bhavamalpana Bhudani Bhagavatyasha Savai Bhagavadottama, that understanding has to be very much there in a person who is an Uttamadhyari. Uttamadhyari means this, that he has this vision in him. He must have come to that vision, otherwise he is not Uttamadhyari. Uttamadhyari, then Madhyamadhyari discusses Ishwaratadadineshu Balisheshu Dushalstuja Kripa Maitri Premam Maitri Kripa Ubecha Yakaro Disamadhyamaha. Madhyamadhyari, one who has not reached that stage, who is in the middle level, is this Ishwaratadadineshu Balisheshu Dushalstuja. We have discussed all this before. Kripa Premam Maitri Kripa Ubecha Yakaro Disamadhyamaha. So Madhyamadhyari is in that level, and then in the Archaya Mevahare, that was the only seeing the Krishna in the deity in the temple, this is the Kanishta Dhyari. So Uttamadhyari, Madhyamadhyari and Kanishta Dhyari, three types. Out of that, strictly speaking, Uttamadhyari alone should be a guru. Only an Uttamadhyari should be a guru, not otherwise. Because if what happens is, if you see a Kanishta Adhikari or a Madhyama Adhikari as a guru, if you take a Kanishta Adhikari or a Madhyama Adhikari as a guru, what will happen is, there are already, these things are discussed in the Shastram, what will happen to such situations. In such a situation, there are two examples given, what will happen to such people. What will happen to them is, that through examples it is easy to understand. Then Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam, it is spoken like this. Uttamadhyari's qualification is that if one approaches a Uttamadhyari spiritual master, he should be able to clear all the doubts about spiritual life. He had two qualifications mentioned in the Bhagavatam. What are they? Shabde pare janishnadam brahmani upashamashrayam. Shabde pare janishnadam brahmani upashamashrayam. This is the qualification. Qualification is Shabde Pareja Nishnadam, means Shabda Brahmani Nishnadam, Pare Brahmani Nishnadam, Brahmani Upashamashrayam. Shabda Brahmani Nishnadam. Shabda Brahma means Vedam. Vedam is also called Shabda Brahmam. So Shabda Brahmam, he should be a thoroughly learned person. That is his first qualification. Thoroughly learned about everything related to the conclusions of Vedic literature. He must have studied the Vedic literature thoroughly and should have reflected on it and properly digested everything in such a way that Shabde Pareja Nishnadam, that is one side. Shabda Brahmam realization is one side. The other thing is Pare Brahmani Nishnadam. That means not only he has studied them, science of the Shastram, but all that Shastram, he must have realized it as well. This is the qualification of Uttamadhikari. One who is an Uttama, otherwise these kind of situations like what it is spoken here will not happen. For example, it says here that a personality, Shabde Parejanishnadam Brahman Upashamashrayam, there are mentioned like this, to such a person one should approach. What kind of person? Tasmal Guryam Pravadyeda Jityasu Shreyam Uttamam. That person, Jityasu, who is inquiring about the truth, he should approach that spiritual master. Tasmad, therefore, Guryam Pravadyeda, he should surrender to that spiritual master. Jityasu, he is Jityasu, he has the nature of inquiry. Shreyam Uttamam, who can instruct him. Pare Shabde Brahmani Shabde Pare Janishnadam Brahmani Upashamashrayam. శబ్దనిష్ణాదం, శబ్దబ్రహ్మణి నిష్ణాదం, పరే బ్రహ్మణి నిష్ణాదం. టూ థింగ్స్. శబ్దే బ్రహ్మణి నిష్ణాదం మీన్స్ హీ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ స్టడీడ్ ద వేదిక్ లిటరేచర్ సో వెల్ దాట్ హీ నోస్ ది ఆల్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది శాస్త్రం. Everything what has to be known, he knows. So because only by studying the Shastram, one can clear the doubts of a person who is inquiring. Number one. Number two, not only that he is able to clear the doubts, secondly, he must be able to transmit that realizations, what he has got by realizing of the Pare Brahmani Nishnadam, what he has realized the Brahmam, that realization he should be able to transfer to the disciple as well. This is the qualifications of a Uttamadhikari Guru. So Bhagavatam at this point is bringing up this very important topic, because this is the topic always in question. Especially in the Kali Yuga, all this has become issues, because we have broken away from the Vedic tradition so far that we ourselves are not always misled, and we always get confused about these things. But Srimad Bhagavatam is saying here, Tasmal Gurum Prabhadyeda Jityaso Shrayam Uttamam Shabde Parejanishnadam Brahman Upashamashrayam. That is the one verse in the Bhagavatam which was spoken by Prabhuddha at this time. Prabhuddha says this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, in order to explain this, there are many examples in the Shastram that if you don't approach an Uttamadhikari, what will happen? Because this is an important point. If there is not an Uttamadhikari, what will happen is, one example is this, that in the rainy season, in the field, there will be so much water. You know, in the rainy season, the fields get full of water. And at that time, lot of frogs will be floating around in the water, trying to look for something to eat. And seeing this, the snakes, they come out from the holes. And these snakes which come out of the holes, they are normally called water snakes. They are not poisonous, but they are snakes at the same time, but they have no poison. When they come out, what happens is, they see the frogs, and these water snakes are very thin. They don't have such a big, huge body. Thin and long ones. They will eat some of these frogs. Somehow they manage to get them in into the mouth. But after a while, the frog wants to escape from inside. It cannot go further. Because the snake has expanded its body as much as it could, but the frog is too big to digest. It's not possible for the frog to go further. The snake doesn't want to release the frog. It wants to somehow crush it, and somehow able to eat the frog. But the frog continuously wants to escape from the snake. This situation will happen between the spiritual master and the disciple. Spiritual master will want to somehow or the other make the disciple elevate him, but not able to, because he is not Uttamadhikari. The disciple realizes that spiritual master is not able to do anything about it. He wants to escape from there. This situation will happen. This is there. It is explained like that in the Shastram, that this situation will happen to such a person who has not thought over these things. Tasmal gurum prabhadyeda jityasu shreyam uttamam shabde pareja nishnadam brahman upashamashrayam. This is the instruction in the Bhagavatam about it. There is another example also. So many examples spoken about this thing. Material existence is considered to be samsaram. Samsaram means material existence. It is considered to be like an ocean, isn't it? Like an ocean. If you want to cross over an ocean, you need a boat. So, to get a boat, we went to the river bank or the sea on the banks somewhere and look for a boat. You found a boat somehow, got into the boat and started the journey. After starting the journey, you found the boat has got some holes underneath. The water started coming in. You won't get over the sea to the other side. Somewhere in the middle, it will sink. Isn't it? It will sink somewhere. Therefore, Bhagavatam is saying that when one think about advancing in spiritual life, these things should be understood properly. Tasmal gurum prabhadyeda jityaso shreyam uttamam shabde parejanishnadam brahman nyupashamashrayam. That is the qualifications that is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, therefore, it is says here that the Hari Maharshi says that first one has to see one has to see everything as Krishna's presence in that. Everything what we see in this world, that is the first realization, isn't it? That sarva bhudeshu ya pashyel bhagavad bhavam alpana. How to see Krishna in everything? That's an important thing. It is not so easy, isn't it? You can try how to see Krishna in everyone. Sarva bhudeshu ya pashyel bhagavad bhavam alpana. So if you look at that, in the third canto of Bhagavadam, there is a verse spoken by Kapila Vasudev to Devahuti Devi about it. What does he say? Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalmanam kritalayam arhaye danamanabhyam maitreya abhinnena chakshushaham. That is what he has spoken. Then, athamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalmanam kritalayam. Exactly the same thing what Prabuddha is saying here was repeated in a different words there, but message is the same. Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalmanam kritalayam. Sarveshu bhudeshu, in every living entity, bhudalmanam kritalayam. Kritalayam means temple. That you have to see everyone's body is nothing but a temple. That is how one has to say. That temple, that the body is a temple because Krishna is present there in the form of the super soul. He is present there in that body. So, he says here, arhaye danamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshushaham. That once he has seen this as a temple, others' body as a temple, what should he think about that body? It says here, this body has got 9 gates. In other words, this temple has got 9 gates in there. And inside, the deity is there. Who is the deity? Krishna is present there as the deity there. Krishna is present there as the deity there. The 5 senses are nothing but a lamp which has got 5 wicks in there. The 5 senses are the 5 wicks. A lamp with 5 wicks. The 5 wicks lamp is burning inside. So, if one has to think of the material body as a temple where Krishna is present inside as a deity, and the 5 senses are the 5 wicks in a temple as a lamp burning in front of him, and that is how one, and this body as a temple building. As a temple building. If one sees like that, Krishna is here, Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalmanam kritalayam arhaye danamanabhyam maitreya abhinyena chakshushaham. Then, in that way, one starts approaching. Seeing like that, then he will be able to realize that at some point, that Krishna is present in everyone. This is just the beginning of that. To see everybody as a temple. That's the first step. And after seeing that, one has to recognize that Krishna is present inside. We come to the temple to see the deity, thinking that we want to see Krishna. But what we are seeing actually is from our Krishna's present in the deity form, we are seeing that. But strictly speaking, Krishna's present in another living entity is much more important. Because it's there, Krishna is present and functioning it, and we are able to see it much better than in the deity form. So, as we mentioned there, that when one sees this form, once sees any form, any living entity, once we recognize that Krishna is present in that body, what is the next thing to do? Next thing is to how to please that person. Because Krishna is present in there. Just like we gave this example before, that when a person is very hungry, and he comes and you give him food, and once he is satisfied, he smiles and he feels happy, recognizes your service to him. Isn't it? He recognizes your service to him. And when he is smiling and thanking you for offering the food to him, who is actually, where is that happiness comes from? It comes from Krishna, from inside, within. From Krishna that happiness comes, but it comes through his senses and the mind, that's all. But basically, it's coming from Krishna. If we understand that principle, then when we offer food to somebody, we will know the principle behind it, that actually it is for pleasing Krishna. We should not think that it is for pleasing that particular individual. It is actually pleasing to Krishna because you have recognized Krishna's presence in that body. That is what is more important. You have recognized Krishna's presence in that body. And that is the beginning of bhakti. That is the beginning of bhakti. So, it says here that any time when അർഹയെ ദാനമാനാഭ്യം മൈത്രേയ അഭിന്നേന ചക്ഷുഷാം. അർഹയെ ദാനമാനാഭ്യം, ദാറ്റ് വൺ ഷുഡ് ഓഫർ എവറിഥിങ് ടു ഹിം ആൻഡ് ദാനം. ദാനം മീൻസ് ചാരിറ്റി. One should give everything to please him. This is an important topic in the Bhagavatam because we don't understand it enough, there the importance of it, therefore we make all sorts of mistake about it. If you analyze this through arhaye danamanaabhyam maitreya abhinnena chakshushaham, then as though one is offering to oneself everything, you should offer everything to the other person also. Reason for that is the reason for that is that in the first thing in bhakti process is this, to start this, to seeing Krishna's presence in every living entity. To think, where do we start this first? This is the first question, where to start this. Strictly speaking, this process is made easier by the Shastram in a different way. What they say is, those who are very close to you, first develop bhakti towards them. The first step. Those who are very close to you. Close to you means the family members, closer relatives or friends in that relationship, in that circle. First, it has to start somewhere. And the first thing, it has to start from one's own close associates, who associates with him. Just like for a father, association with the association with the family members, association with children, wife, mother, father, everyone. With all of them, one should develop this relationship. That is where it begins first. This is precisely the reason you will see the statement in the Upanishads. What does it say? Matra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava. That they have been given this position, mother, father and the Acharya. And even the next one, Adhiti Devo Bhava, Adhiti, the guest also. So, Matra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, and then Adhiti Devo Bhava. Why this has been spoken in the Upanishads like this? It is for this reason. That bhakti begins like this, that those who are close to us, with them first we have to develop this relationship. Because normally what we have developed towards them is attachment. And that is not what is expected. What is expected, attachment and aversion, these are two sides of the same coin. Like for example, we have what is called love for Krishna. This is our original nature in us, love for Krishna. That is bhakti. Love for Krishna is bhakti. And that love for Krishna, bhakti, it takes to two different forms, in the form of attachment and aversion. It develops into these two kind of things. Attachment means ragam and aversion means dvesham. Ragam and dvesham. And these two things, ragam and dvesham, are problems. Unless this ragam and dvesham or attachment and aversion goes away, whatever meditation we do in our heart, whatever we do, it will not become successful. It won't come to any success. So, these two things have to go away first, ragam and dvesham. Bhagavad Gita says this, Srimad Bhagavatam says this, every other literature you will find. Why ragadvesham moktehi? Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, in a verse later on, he says, ragadvesham moktehistu vishayanindriya ischaran atmavaksher vidheyalma prasadam abhigacchadi. In the second chapter, 64 verse. Krishna says, ragadvesham moktehistu vishayanindriya ischaran atmavaksher vidheyalmam prasadam abhigacchadi. He says here, Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu, one who has come out of Ragam and Dvesham and Vishayan Indriyais Charan, and he has managed to get his senses under control, Atma Vashyair Vidhe Alpa, that means he is able to advance on the spiritual path because Prasadam Abhigachadi, he is peaceful enough to execute spiritual life. Otherwise he can't. So Ragam and Dvesham are two things which has developed actually from the bhakti. Bhakti, instead of having bhakti towards others, we have developed attachment and aversion towards others, isn't it? Just like when we see somebody, if we like him, we have attachment for him. we think him, oh, is a good friend of mine, or he is a well-wisher of mine, or whatever it is, you like to talk to him, and you develop some connection with him. On the other hand, somebody, if you don't like to see him, you develop aversion towards him, because of his reaction towards your own life, or whatever way it is. So this attachment and aversion, they are both not helpful in spiritual life. That is what it is said like that. That first thing Krishna says in the 6th chapter, if you look, Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will say there, Almai, Almavamyena sarvatra, samam bhashadi arjuna, sukham vayadi vadukham, sayogi padamomadaham. This is important thing. Almavamyena sarvatra, samam bhashadi arjuna. How can one see equally everywhere? This is what Krishna is talking about. Alpa vamyena sarvatra samam pashyati arjuna sukham va yadi va dukham. When one receives happiness or distress in this life, still he is able to maintain his balance inside, not being distracted by that. Sayogi paramo madaham. He is advanced person, Krishna says. So this ragam and dvesham, in other words, has to come to an end. It has to be controlled. Because if that doesn't happen, Krishna says, bhakti cannot grow. So in order that bhakti to develop, one has to start that with the members, which are very family members or whoever is very close to him. And that relationship should not be based on attachment or aversion. Because in that relationship, normally what happens is, we all have to remember one thing, especially in the family life, why we were all put together. Why were we all put together in one family? The reason for that is, we are all settling our accounts each other. Somebody, we owe them something, they have come to get it from us. We had to get something from somebody. So this is an endless business, this thing called karmam, the connection of karmam that comes in this form. All these different bodies we find around us, they have come to sort out and settle their accounts with us. That's why they had come. As family members, they will come in the form of family members. If you have not settled your accounts with them in this life, they will come back in the form of a cat or a dog and take it from you in another form, from you. This is the principle. These are the subtle sides of the karmic law. The karma works like that. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says there, not only in Bhagavatam, in other places also, that when one has not learned this, how to give to others, but only learn how to take from everyone, that person is actually digging his own hell, digging his own grave, in other words. His own grave he is digging, because he does not understand the principle of karma, how it works. That Krishna says here in the Bhagavad Gita, that because this bhakti has not come to that person, he has only learned to take from everybody as much as he could, and not giving to anyone anything. He believes like that. He thinks, I am very smart, I am very clever. But unfortunately, the subtle laws of karma works in a different way. Works in a different way. It says in the Bhagavatam, Devarshi Bhudapta Nrnam Pitrnam Na Kingarot Nayam Rnijarajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihrityagatam. Bhagavatam talks about this. Devarshi Bhudapta Nrnam Pitrnam. We have obligations to demigods. We have obligations to the sages. We have obligations to the forefathers. We have obligations to relatives. So many obligations are mentioned. Do you think that they just mentioned it for the sake of mentioning something? And we don't want to know about this? It is not so. The Shastram is never wrong. Shastram has some serious thoughts behind it when they have said all these things. Na kingaro nayam rani charajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gadomukundam parihrityagartam. Anyway, in order to mention this point, very important point, that a living entity has a lot of obligations. Lot of obligations. And in that process of cultivating bhakti, if one does not cultivate bhakti, but rather develop relationship with people based on ragam and dvesham, then it is going to have more problems later. Suppose somebody has developed an inimical attitude towards you, then there is nothing to worry about it, because that person won't cause you any problem. You don't owe him anything. That's what it means. That you don't owe him anything. That is what that means. But somebody who has come and is dependent on you for his life in this world or for his maintenance, and if you show any kind of laxity on that side, that is not bhakti. That is also to be taken note of. Bhakti means to offer everything, and it begins, this bhakti attitude, the mood of bhakti begins earlier from those who are very close to us. It is from there it has to start. And that has to expand from there, not to be only structured with the family members or the friends of the society, but it has to grow to the larger level when one sees. That is how we start. If when one sees a family member, if he sees in that person as Krishna's presence in that body, then one can serve him with devotion. Otherwise, if one starts seeing that person as an object of sense gratification, and that is coming from attachment. There should be no attachment anywhere. That is what Shastram is saying. But one should be able to see in everyone Krishna's presence and able to serve that person through bhakti. Then it is proper relationship. Otherwise, it is not proper. So, Bhagavatam is saying that this acquiring wealth in this world, that is where all the problem starts. Any amount of wealth acquired is not sufficient. Yavad mito vajana sakta sthavan nija parivaro rektaha paschal jiva nijarjara dehe vartam kopi na prachadigehe. That is Bhajagovindam prayers. Ajari Swamiji says there that yavad mito vajana sakta, as long as you are capable of earning wealth in this world, acquiring wealth in this world, sthavan nija parivaro rektaha, that time you will have all this so-called parivar with you. There will be everyone to inquire about your health, wealth, everything. Because you are earning well and you are able to provide them. So, paschal jivani jarjara dehe. As soon as your body becomes useless and it is dead or useless, it is not able to do anything. Vartam kopi na prachadigehe. Nobody will inquire about you. They will transfer you to the next old age home or to the hospital or care home or whatever it is. And then there will be phone call once in a way. If everything is so-called paid, bills are paid or whatever, that will be the end of it. So, this is the truth. So, Ajari Swamiji says there that from this you should understand, he says, from this you should understand that actually these relationships are based on all falsity. It's all based on false relationship. Rather, if one is able to convert that relationship into bhakti, then it is proper. It is proper. Otherwise, it is not proper. That if it is based on bhakti rather than a business relationship, that yaval pavano nivasadi gehe, taval prachadi kushalam gehe. As long as this life air is inside, so long as the life air is inside, yaval pavano nivasadi gehe, taval prachadi kushalam gehe. Up to that time, people may inquire about you. Yadubadi vayo, jiva bhayo, bhairya bibhyadi tasmin kayo. That as soon as the soul leaves the body, your own wife or your own husband, the other way also you can take it, they do not even want to come closer to you, to that dead body. She's frightened about that. Why? Bhairya bibhyadi tasmin kaye. The very body which the wife has embraced before or the husband has embraced before and thought that we are one, as long as that soul leaves that body, immediately they don't want to even see each other. That is how frightening it is. When the death happens, this relationship is a straight cut at that point. It's finished at that very point. Then it's a dead body, I have nothing to do. So whom were you loving for all this time? Where was that loving relationship? With whom? Was it the body or was it somebody different than that? So this is the question comes here, that every living entity, when it develops a loving relationship, if it is not based on bhakti, that will be problem. If it is based on bhakti, it will not cause this difficulty. Whereas attachment means based on a bodily level. Aversion means also on a bodily level. Whereas bhakti is based on a transcendental relationship, transcendental understanding, where one recognizes that Krishna is present within that living entity. And somehow, in order, due to karma, something has been brought together. And the very same karma will separate them also. And this is only an opportunity given to us to develop bhakti. the association with other family members and the society and all is an opportunity to begin with this process of developing bhakti. Because if you look at the Uttamadhyayi's qualification, what is it? Sarvabhudeshu yapashyel bhagavad bhavam alpana. He has to start seeing Krishna in all living entities. That is the minimum qualification for a Uttamadhyayi. So Uttamadhyayi can only see that when he starts developing this quality through this process discussed. The process is that first he has to begin with all those who are closer to him, and through them first he develops bhakti towards them, and through them he expands that, develops into society and with the rest of all the other living entities. That is how bhakti develops. Bhakti is in everybody, everyone has bhakti. But due to our false understanding, the same energy bhakti is standing in two different forms. What are they? Attachment and aversion. So this attachment and aversion is actually what we have got today. Somebody is favorable, so I like him. Somebody isn't like, if not favorable, I dislike him. This way we have divided the whole connections with the world into different categories. So both are equally bad, Krishna says. Both are equally bad. This attachment is bad, aversion is also bad. But on the other hand, it should be bhakti. And the same love for Krishna develops in the form of bhakti, then that is how the bhakti process begins. That is how. Sarva bhudeshu ya pashyel bhagavad bhavam alpanam bhudani bhagavat yesha savai bhagavadottamam. So, when one starts seeing Krishna in that way, what will happen is that if you start giving them through bhakti, if you develop this relationship through bhakti, you will start giving them. You won't feel that miserliness or to keep everything to myself. That mind will move away from us. The mind will go away from us. Mind will go away from us. Because what normally happens is that if you give to others, if you give it to others, it becomes light. It becomes lighter, isn't it? It becomes lighter. But if you take from others all the time, it becomes heavier. It becomes a heavy heart then. And if you have not learned to give it to others, if you have only learned to take it all the time, what will happen is, before death, there will be some pain inside. It will start causing crisis inside. It will start causing a lot of crisis inside. And that crisis can develop into serious problems later. And crisis can develop into serious problems. Therefore, one who is against us, you don't have to worry about it so much, because they are not expecting anything from you. But those who are expecting from us, those who have come to take shelter of us, if you have not done what is required for them, then it will hit you at the time of death. It will hit you at the time of death. And that is why all this Shraddha ceremony and all that, what is it actually? The Shraddha ceremony is not for that person who has left the body. We always think like that, isn't it? So I'll offer something to him now, that by offering, we are thinking that the soul will go into another world or get another better body by this last minute adjustment. That is not going to work. Krishna's rules are not so flimsy that it all fails. At the last minute you can manipulate. That depends on that person's karma, and that will lead him through that life. What we are doing actually is settling our account with that soul. That is Shraddham. Shraddham is nothing but we are settling our accounts with him. That even after the person has left the body, for example, Shraddham is performed every year, isn't it? Or sometimes every month also. All these things are necessary for one reason only. That we have not, during their lifetime, we have taken from all these people a lot of things in different forms. Either in the form of love and affection, or in the form of material opulences. Different things. In our growth in this world also, we have extracted a lot of things from a lot of people, in a lot of different ways. And all these things has to be given back at some point. It's not something where you can just take and go from here. That's not this world. Everything has to be settled. The account has to be settled at some point. And therefore, Shastras are saying that it is better to give always rather than taking from others. If this is the very same principle in all levels, what to talk about taking from others? Imagine taking from Krishna all the time. How worse it is. That you are not only giving to Krishna, but you are taking from Krishna. We are all taking from Krishna, something or the other. So how much responsibility, how much we owe to Krishna? Imagine that. How much obligations we have towards Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. We are not only giving it to anyone, not only giving to Krishna, but we are thinking that everything is kept for me. Krishna should give me everything. That's what our understanding is, isn't it? We are expecting Krishna to pay for it. And this understanding comes in. Why? Because there is no understanding of the subtle laws of karma. And that's where the whole thing begins. There is no explanation otherwise to it. That when bhakti won't develop in that consciousness, one who has the bhakti means to give, not to take. That bhakti, Prabhupada used to say, you can't buy a devotee, he said. You can't buy a devotee. Devotee is not to be purchased for millions of dollars. You can't buy a devotee. So many times this question has come up in the past, and again the same question was clarified many, many times. Prabhupada used to say this, you can't buy a devotee. It is as simple as that. So wherever this understanding had come, that we have to get money from Krishna, then it is a wrong understanding. It is not correct, because it is not bhakti. If we are in the bhakti process, if bhakti process is like that it is explained here, so many misunderstandings we develop in this way, that we start thinking that our process is correct. Our process is correct as long as all these underlying principles are understood behind that. So here, Krishna is even saying in Bhagavad Gita, in several instances, in order to give us the correct picture, that in order devotion to develop inside a heart, this mood has to begin somewhere. That's why it is said that, like this. Then, Krishna says here, that Adhamam Sarvaishu Bhudeshu Bhudalmanam Kritalayam. Why should one see other body as a temple so that one develop devotion towards that person? No aversion to anyone. And Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam Maitreya Abhinyena Chakshushaha. Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam. According to one's capacity, one should offer to that person Dhanam. That is Dhanam. Then, in some instances, we may not be able to do that. What should one do? Manabhyam. Dhanam anabhyam. Manam means offering respects to somebody. If you can't offer anything to him, something that will please Krishna within that person. What is that? Arhaye dhanam anabhyam. Manam. Manam means offering respects to somebody who is another living entity, to whom, how we should deal with him. That just by paying you, offering your respects to him with love, that person gets pleased. That person gets pleased. And that is bhakti. That is bhakti. This is how bhakti begins. Bhakti begins with all these things. So, Krishna says here, that Krishna also says here, once you have developed this mood in oneself, what will happen is, you will start seeing a relationship with Krishna also coming in the same way. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yathamam prabhadyande tam stadhaiva bhajamyaham. That it is not that any form of Krishna, when one get attached to, either in the baby form of Krishna, or in the little boy form of Krishna, or in the Krishna as Parthasarathi form, whichever form it is, whatever form, a development of relationship with Krishna is important. And when that relationship is building, yayadhamam prabhadyande tam stadhaiva bhajamiham, accordingly I reciprocate, Krishna says. This is how relationships are built up. When there is no relationship, everything is business in life, then where bhakti can be? That is the modern society. The whole modern society is functions on this principle, business. Within the family it's business, with the friends it's business, with relations it's business, with Krishna also it's business. And everything business. From beginning to end, it's business. How will it work? What's the point? It's wastage of time. Because Krishna is saying here that there are two things to understand. We have got what is known as vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means transactions. And other thing is bhakti. What we have got today is, we do business with Krishna and we have bhakti towards the world, material life. We have tremendous devotion to our material life. How, somehow or the other, my material life should run very well. And whatever I have to do, I'll make all sacrifices what is necessary. But with Krishna, it is transaction always, business. How much I am getting from you, accordingly I'll reciprocate. I'm saying to Krishna this. Eyadhamam prabhadyande tamsadhaiva bhajamyaham. Accordingly, you reciprocate, I will also offer you. This is our relationship with Krishna. But Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is saying, this transaction or vyavaharam with Krishna must stop. With the material world, you should do vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means this transactional nature. With the world, we should have transaction. Because that is how, just like, you know, the vegetable merchant, he knows vegetables won't stay very long. So what does he do? He wants to sell it off, finish quickly, and get the money out and get out of the place. Because he knows he can't keep the vegetables for a long time. People won't buy it. So exactly like that, our dealings with this world also has to be in that way. Whatever we are doing with this world, it is a transaction. It is vyavaharam. So vyavaharam towards the material world, but bhakti towards Krishna. Unfortunately, normally what happens to most of us is, we have vyavaharam with Krishna and bhakti towards the world. So that is why Krishna is saying here, that is what is to be taken away from us. And so, therefore, Krishna says here that in this relationship, bhakti process is not easy. As though it is said it is easy, we say, we'll chant the holy name, we'll take prasadam, we think that that's the end of it. But that is not the end of it. The real proper bhakti, when it grows in a person's heart, this will be known to others also, that the person's nature changes. That's why, Gurur nasasyal, Sajano nasasyal, Pidana sasyal, Janani nasasyal, Devam nasasyal, Napadischa sasyal, Namojayedya samubedha mrityam. If you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, Rishabhadeva, while instructing his children, he was saying this. What was he saying? Devam gururna sasyal, gururna sasyal, sujanona sasyal. He is not a spiritual master who has not trained his disciple in this way, in this principle of developing bhakti. Otherwise, he is not a guru. Gururna sasyal, sujanona sasyal. He is not a family member if he is not telling his relatives in the home, at home, in the same way, how to build relationships with each other. Gurur nasasyal, sujano nasasyal, then pita nasasyal, janani nasasyal. He is not a father who is not telling his children that this is what relationship means, bhakti means. Pita nasasyal, janani nasasyal. He is not a mother. She is not a mother if she is not training her children in that way. Devam na sasyal na padischa sasyal. He is not even a demigod nor padi a husband if he is not instructing somebody in that way. Namo jayedya samupeda mrityam. That if he is not able to get him out of the cycle of birth and death through bhakti process. Bhakti process is important because austerities and penances and yoga practices and knowledge and jnanam and all that is for not for everyone. That is only for very few people who are very qualified for that. Otherwise, they cannot do that. For all the average people like us, for all of us, the only shelter is how to do. We are all householders or living at home with family members and interacting with the society, friends and all that. In all these relationships, if the relationships are not based on bhakti process, then bhakti cannot grow. That is an important point. So here, Krishna says here that, Prabhudha is saying here to King Nimi, that in order bhakti has to develop, it has to begin with the closer members of the family. First to begin with the mother itself. Mother is the first personality. That is why in the Upanishads all these statements. Otherwise, elsewhere also, why give so much importance to father and mother? This question will come. So many lifetimes, we had so many father and so many mother. Why we say that father and mother is important in this lifetime? Why do we say like that? It is only for this reason. It is not that they want anything from you. They will leave this world and they will go in their way. But this is an opportunity, it says, Bhagavatam says, where you have an opportunity to develop bhakti towards the closest members of the family first. That's why, Madhra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava. After first father and mother, and then who comes the next one? Acharya, the spiritual master. Acharya Devo Bhava, and then above all, Adhiri Devo Bhava. This is the Upanishad statement it is. Upanishad statement says like this, that to everyone we come across, this mood has to build up inside, mood of bhakti. Otherwise, bhakti is not only for Krishna. Everyone else is a rascal, I'll kick them on their face. That is not bhakti. That is that Kanishtha Adhikari is mean mentality that is. That is not bhakti. Bhakti is like this, that sarva bhudeshu ya pashyet bhagavad bhavam almanam. In all seeing, in all living entities, Krishna's presence. And to begin with, this is how it starts from home. It starts from home and enlarges and depends. Once we have developed that relationship within home, with others also, one can develop in due course. That's why it is said. So, it is said like this, that one who is too absorbed in this, we will come to Prabhupada's answer later in the Bhagavatam verses, but Prabhupada will say there that one who is after wealth, one who has not inquired too much, for him it is difficult to cross over Maya, because he is absorbed in only one thing. What is that? Making money. That's his only business. So therefore, Acharya Swami says, Mutha, he is a Mutha, he is an idiot, he says, he is just a stupid person. Why? Mutha jahi hi dhana agama trishnam. Dhanam, dhanam. More and more, more and more. That's the only thing that is driving him in life. Nothing else. Kuru sal buddhim manasi vitrishnam. He does not develop that sal buddhi. Sal buddhi means good intelligence. What is that? Manasi vitrishnam. How to control the mind and free from desires. That's not happening. On the other hand, the only desire that's building up is how to increase it. Then, yallabhase nija karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. So, for example, in the case of a brahmachari or a sannyasi, normally, brahmacharis and sannyasis, they are exempted from this. Because generally it is expected that if they are living as per the brahmachari principles and sannyasam principles, as explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then they have nothing to worry about anything. They will automatically get elevated in spiritual life. But it is a householder's position which is very much a precarious situation. He has been given a license to enter into family life, and at the same time he has been given certain comforts also. So out of that, yajnam, dhanam and tapas, three things. Krishna still talk about in the Bhagavad Gita. Yajna, dhanam, tapam. Three things. Yajnam is meant for the householders. Dhanam is meant for the householders. Tapas is meant for the sannyasis, and yajnam is meant for the brahmacharis. So tapas is performed by the sannyasis. They don't require any wealth. They are not in need of wealth. Same thing with the brahmacharis also. But householder has been given a license that he can acquire wealth. But Acharya Swamiji says here that yallabhase nija karmopatam, even one has come to this world in acquiring wealth as a householder, what will happen is results may come or may not come. You may engage in so many activities in this world to acquire wealth, isn't it? To acquire wealth, we may engage in so many activities. But he says that you should be satisfied with whatever results that comes. You should not moan about it and think that, oh, I didn't get enough, so I have to make more. That attitude is wrong, he says. Why? He says there, vittam tena vinodaya chittam. Just be satisfied and enjoy yourself with what you have got. That is what householder is allowed. Vittam tena vinodaya chittam. Nothing more than that. Yallabhase nija karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. Vinodaya chittam. It has to be satisfied within that level. Otherwise, it will cause further problems. Otherwise, there is no limit. Any amount of money will be insufficient. And then the whole lifetime will be searching after wealth rather than searching after the soul. And the result will be, as Acharya Swamiji says, he is addressed as Mutha. Mutha. Mutha for this reason only. That therefore, bhaja Govindam, Govindam, bhaja Muthamate. Worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda. For this reason, it is spoken like that. So, the two things we talked about before, Sat and Asat. Sat is what is permanent. What is that? The soul. Asat is everything else. What is not soul? What is not spiritual? Like the matter, all matter, material body, mind, intelligence, they are all Asat. So as long as our mind is attached to Asat, we will have problems. Long ago, one incident happened that this has happened many, probably about 600 years back, this, but it is recorded in the history. It's a famous thing. One sannyasi, before he took up sannyas, he had a tremendous desire for wealth. Tremendous desire for wealth. So with that intention, he, in those days, and there were no means of making money like today. You can go into stock market, play the stock market and make money from that. Or other opportunities like today, investing in property and make money from that. Various kinds of things, what is always like the society has developed to make money, as they say. Those situations didn't happen. It was a different society. So, because they were very much based on Vedic principles, he worshipped Lakshmi Devi for money. He worshipped Lakshmi Devi for money, which is the traditional system. Lakshmi Devi rewards the wealth to such a person. So after intense austerities and penances, he pleased Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi appeared before him and asked him what his desire is. He told her that I want a lot of wealth. This is my desire. That is why I have served you so sincerely. Lakshmi Devi smiled at him and told him, unfortunately, you don't have anything into your credit to give you anything. Because normally we think that it's not that demigods will just give you whatever you ask, some or the other. No, you have to be qualified also for that. If you read particularly the Vedic hymns, Shri Suktam, Bhagya Suktam and all that, you will find there, the prayers to Lakshmi Devi is like this, that I pray to you to make me qualify to have it. That's how they pray. The different suktams will say like this. They won't say, give me this, give me this, give me this. No, that's not how the prayer is. Prayer is like this. Engage me in such activities so that I become qualified to have these opulences or this wealth. In that way, you can be qualified to have it. That's what she was referring to. Because she knows and he also knows that unless you are qualified, you can't have it. So he understood that my karma is such that I am not qualified to have it. So what was the point in insisting on that? In this lifetime you can't have it, but in the next lifetime you can have it, she said to him. So this Swami, this is not become Swami yet, he thought, alright, I have to wait till next life. There is a shortcut for that, he said. Shortcut is this, let me take sannyas. If I take sannyas, what does it mean? It means the next birth. Sannyasam is another birth actually. Strictly speaking, sannyasam life is another birth. That this life is over, you start in the next life, sannyasa life. So, he took sannyas. He took sannyas. This is an actual incident happened 500-600 years ago, and it's a well-known story in the history also. It is recorded in various mutts and everything. It's a well-known case. So, as soon as he took sannyas and prayed to Lakshmi Devi, where is my wealth? I've taken the next birth now. Lakshmi Devi showered with gold coins in the house, inside, outside, everywhere. It is only then this sannyasi was known as Vidyaranya Swami. Vidyaranya came to know that he has been cheated. Why he has been cheated? Because he realized that, alright, I got all this wealth, but I am a sannyasi, what do I need all this for? This thought came up to him at that point. So what did he do? He took a broom, swept all these gold coins that were showered inside the house, outside, everything, and gave it to all the poor people. This is the story of a sannyasi of those days, not today's sannyasi. Please don't misunderstand me. This sannyasi referred to in the Bhagavatam and what has been going on in Kali Yugam, please don't look for all these things. It is not going to be there. We will see a different kinds of sannyasis appearing in the Kali Yugam. So, please don't think that we are being critical of sannyas ashram. It's a very noble ashram if you accept what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna has given so much value to sannyas ashram. But unfortunately, often what we find is Sannyasashram has come developed into some other form of enterprise. And that is what one has to worry about, that this sannyasi, when he realized that, sannyasi doesn't need any wealth. Sannyasi is already in a stage. What does a sannyasi need the money for? So sannyasi thinks that he requires all the wealth in this world, and he has been, when Vidyarani Swamiji's case, it was very clear. He understood that what am I supposed to do with this? I have taken sannyas. He gave up everything at the very spot. He gave it up and walked away from there. And he became very famous much later. He has written very, very learned. Vedic literature from him came out much later. He lived a very, very long time as well. So that's history. So anyway, the important point to remember here is that acquiring wealth at a particular stage in life for a particular purpose, that's all. After that, wealth also can't help anybody. What can wealth help? But what normally happens is in Kali Yuga, wealth becomes the priority in everything. And that is what it is said here. That sadhi deish chalehi, that the only purpose in life is acquiring wealth, then what is the use? That's what Bhagavad Gita is saying. So normally this developing wealth develop into different situations. So there was a interesting story about that, because in the modern life this is the highest priority, isn't it? Wealth, everything we need, and there is no unlimited. It is. Our desires never fulfill, our needs also never completed. So therefore it said like this, that in the past it was not so. Long ago, there was a great personality who lived in Tamil Nadu at that time, and he comes from a Andhra Brahmana family. They were Appaya Dikshitas. Appaya Dikshitas was a famous personality in the Vedic tradition, and highly learned and highly respected by the devotees community as well as by the great scholars. Highly realized soul, highly knowledgeable, and to such a degree a learned personality. His grandson, I think Nilakanta Dikshita, who later on wrote a commentary on Mahabharatam also, as well as Nilakanta Acharya's commentary, famous commentary on Mahabharatam. He was a great poet and a highly realized soul. So when he lived in his house, a poor person, a poor Brahmana, he lived in his house, and he was very poetical and very scholarly also. So sometimes the kings those days, who were ruling the kingdom those days, they used to invite him and ask him to write some poetry about them. And just in order to please the king, he may write a few verses for their satisfaction. But otherwise, he was a very advanced personality, advanced soul, in highly learned also. Next to Nilakanta Dikshita's house, there was a zamindar. Zamindar means a person who owned a lot of land, a lot of wealth. He lived next door to him, not far from him. So the zamindar used to look at him, think that this poor Brahmana is suffering like this, is nothing with him. Look, because his mind is completely in that illusion that I've got so much wealth and so much money and so much land, everything. So opulent lifestyle. But now and then he'll come to see the Brahmana, just as a routine way he used to visit him. So every time he used to come to see Nilakanta Dikshita used to fed up with him, because all this person has got to talk is about his wealth, what he has got, how much he has got, how much acres of land he has got, or how much cows he has got, how much animals he has got. Various kinds of things he used to talk about it. Nilakanta Dikshita had no interest in all these topics. His mind was somewhere else. In another, he lived, a Brahminical culture was in him, that he has no interest in all these things. But still, after, first they'll come and ask about the usual way, like we ask also, how are you, and all these kind of things will go on. And then immediately he will switch the topic to his achievements in life, how much he has made. This is what goes on in this modern world also, isn't it? It's not much different. Why do we need all social life? Because we all have to impress each other. How much property we have got, how much shares we have got, or how much wealth we have got. All these kind of things. This rubbish thing is always going on. So there also, this is what has happened. That Nilakanta Dikshita eventually decided that I have to say this to man. He's coming and wasting my time. Let him have his wealth, but I don't mind that. But when it starts wasting my time, it is not very good. So one day what he did was, when he came to see him, what he did was, he brought a goat and tied this goat outside to a post right in front of the house. The goat stood there and said, meh, 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 as usual, isn't it? Meh, goat makes that noise, meh, 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 keeps shouting, crying like that for meh. So in Sanskrit language, meh, meh, meh means mine, 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 mine. That's what it means. Yeah? So he, when this zamindar came next time, Nilakanta Dikshitar told him that he could not bear it anymore. He said, can I write some poetry about you? He said. The zamindar was in bliss. He was thinking, normally Nilakanta Dikshitar writes poetry about the great, great kings those days. But now he's asking, obviously he is thinking of me, something great. That's why he wants to write this poetry about me. So he said, yeah, fly, carry on, he said. Let me write it down, what you're going to say, he said. So Nilakanta Dikshitar's poetry, I'll read it to you, what he wrote about him. Dharayi me me, tanayaya me me. He says, he begins, brings the goats into picture. He says, Dharaya me me, I got a wife who is super excellent, wonderful. And I got children. Tanayaya me me. He says, this is what I'm hearing from you every day. Day after day, I have to bear with you. Listen to you this. He says, Dharaya me me, tanayaya me me, grihaya me me, pashavasya me me. Then after I spoke about my wife and my children, the next topic I have to discuss is about my house, the fantastic palace I have built. I have to discuss that with you about various facilities in my palace. So first wife, dharaya me me, tanayaya me me, then grihaya me me, about my house, then pashavasya me me, then next thing about my animals, what, who are all I am maintaining in my householder life. Then he says, evamara mesha samana dharmam. Like that, your whole the life is led like a mesha samana dharma. Mesha means the goat. Like the goat, mesha samana dharmam. Exactly like a goat's dharmam, your dharmam is also like that. And then he says, meme ekara kala vrgena nidaham. You are not seeing that big wolf standing there in the form of Yamavat Dharmaraja to eat you in one lot. All your so-called meme will finish at that point. He says to him. Nilakanta Dikshitar said this to this zamindar at that point because he couldn't tolerate this anymore. It was getting too far. Because some people are like that. This is what is the modern society is all about. That we have to always talk about the wealth we have made and to impress each other. So this is what is called in the Bhagavadam, that Bhagavadam, this is says, this is the foolishness of the society. This is the foolishness of the society. Why it is spoken like this is that actually all this is like toys. Like toys given to us, isn't it? Like toys. Because all these things won't stay. They will all go one day. They will all go one day. They are temporary. And to think that they are permanent and to work for that the whole life is foolishness. That's why it's saying, just like toys it's been given and temporary things. And Krishna is also like that. Krishna has given all these things and watching this. He has given it to us like toys to play with. And he is watching us playing with these toys, so-called family members, so-called wealth. Everything what we acquire in this world, it is nothing but toys what Krishna has given. And we are busy playing with these toys, forgetting that there is something important than this. Just like if you have noticed, when a mother has small children, the children will be playing in the living room. So what the mother does is, mother gives a lot of toys to the child to play. And then she goes to kitchen to do her work, whatever she has to do. While cooking in the kitchen or doing whatever work in the kitchen, suddenly the child gets fed up. So the mother comes back and brings another new one and gives it to him. Changes the toy and takes his attention from the older toys to something new. And leave him for some time like that. And then he'll be satisfied with that new toy for a little while. After some time, he will again get fed up. So eventually when he gets totally fed up, he wants to see his mother. Then he will run into kitchen. Isn't it? He won't be satisfied with any toys, whatever. He wants mother's attention. It is exactly the situation with us also. We will play with all these toys in this world, till at some point in time, the mind has to go back to Krishna to find the happiness. So Krishna is also watching. How long you want to play with these toys? Carry on playing as long as you want. Krishna is also saying that to us, that one day we will also get fed up with that, and one day our mind will also turn towards Krishna. that in the Bhagavadam, who says this? If you remember who says this, this is spoken by Prahlada. Prahlada says like this: Nyasta kridanago balo jadavantan manaskaya Krishna graha grihi dalma naveda jagadi drisham. Krishna graha grihi dalma. Normally, graham, graham means planets. Planets catch us, isn't it? Different planets, Saturn, Jupiter, they all affect us in some way or the other. So this influence of the planets is important. But here, Nyasta kridana go bala. Prahlada Maharaj was such a personality, he had no interest in any of these things, any of the toys, what was given to him. He had no interest in that. Jadavattan manaskaya. Then he acted completely indifferent to all of them. Why? Krishna graha grihi dalpa. He was so much fired up, he was so much influenced by Krishna, that Krishna was the only goal in his mind at an early age in life. Therefore, naveda jagadidrisham. Because of that, he was seeing Krishna everywhere. Because of this realization was so strongly in him, that from the very early days itself, he was able to see Krishna. Otherwise, what will normally happen is that Prahlada's case also, Hiranyakashipu was doing exactly the same thing what the modern parents are doing. What does the modern parents do? He says to the child, look, I got the best gun from the market. I got this for you. Now, Christmas present, have it, he says. And then he carries on buying things one after the other. One day, what does the child who takes the gun and shoots the father himself? First thing. That's what happens, isn't it? So all these things depend, because the father is thinking, I'm giving him quality time, as they say. Quality time. So the quality time ends up like this quality at the end. So in order that, if we do not understand these principles, what Krishna, what Bhagavatam has spoken here, it is saying to us that often it is our vanity that actually pushes us to go in different directions. Sometimes a person was asking that he had enough wealth, he didn't have to work so hard, but he had taken up a very high pressure job which requires many hours of work. So every time when he said that, I get very little time for any spiritual life, to think about anything, he feels completely bound by his work in this world, so much absorbed in the work and engaged in work. So one day he came up and said that it's been very difficult because I find no time for spiritual life, because my wife is expecting to carry on with this work, because she says, what will be my position in the society? So in order to keep her position in the society, I have to become work like a bull whole lifetime. This is what is expected from me. Then he says, my father also is not happy if I give up this job, because he says, I've educated you for this purpose all my life, and if you're not doing this, then why did I do that? And my father has even quoted this one thing, saying that, look at Lord Ramchandra, he listened everything to what King Dasharatha said. So when he said like that, so I said to him that Ramchandra listened to Dasharath, but Prahlada didn't listen to Hiranyakashipu, did he? He said, Prahlada did not listen to Hiranyakashipu, Ramchandra listened to Dasharath. That is correct. But Hiranyakashipu, Prahlada did not listen to Hiranyakashipu. So this is also there, to another side of the coin. When we start using scriptures to justify what we want to do in this world, then also it's a problem. So that's what Bhagavatam is saying there. that when everything is left, and when one's mind becomes free from all these entanglements, that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 6th canto, a particular character has been introduced. It's a demon. A demon like Vritrasura. Vritrasura is speaking there. Why Vritrasura? Because only through a demon, if you present it, the beauty of that verse, you will understand. Vritrasura says at that point, at the time when he has to leave the body, what did he say? Ajadapaksham ivamadharam khakha sanyam yatha valsatara chutartaha. പ്രിയം പ്രിയേ വാവ്യുഷിതം വിഷണ മനോ അരവിന്ദാക്ഷ ദൃക്ഷതേ ത്വാം. This is what he said. Imagine these words is coming from a demon, Vrutrasura. Vrutrasura is saying this. He says, Ajadapaksham iva mataram khakaha. That the when the birds, small birds, they have born, in the early days they don't have the wings. So who has to provide them? The mother has to provide them the food because they can't fly. Mother goes out, brings the food and gives it to the babies. The babies get the food from the mother's mouth. So, Ajadapaksham iva mataram ghaga. So those birds, the babies, they'll be waiting for the mother to come. The whole day they are waiting for the mother to come with the food. Only then they'll be fed. They know that. Only from the mother they'll get the food because they can't fly and they can't find the food. So just like that, Vrutrasura is saying to Krishna, to Indra, that I am waiting in this body exactly like that to see Krishna, to go back to Krishna. Ajadapaksham iva mataram ghaga stanyam yatha valsatara kshudhartaham. In the evening, when after grazing the whole day, the calf is waiting for the mother cow to come back so then she can get her milk. Stanyam yatha valsatara kshudhartaham. Similarly, priyam priyeva vyushidam vishannaha. Similarly, a husband and wife who are newly married, very much in love each other, just like the wife is waiting for the husband to come back from his business or his daily work, whatever it is. Mano aravinda akshadadrikshade tvam. Exactly like that, my heart is actually aravindaksha addressing Krishna. Vrutrasura is saying that I am also waiting to go back to Krishna in the same way. Imagine this coming from a demon, this statement. That too in the battlefield with Indra. It is at that time the question came up, who is this demon to speak like this? Parishit Maharaj was so amazed by these words of Vrutrasura. He wanted to find out who is this demon who can speak like this. Never in the history any time a devotee has spoken in such feelings to going back to Krishna. That to a demoniac body. From a demoniac body. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while saying this to Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami says to him that it is at this point that I have to tell you the history of Vrutrasura. And then he goes back into the life of Chitrakedu and all the other things in the sixth canto. You can read it there. So, important thing to remember here is that that if a demon can come to this stage, us who are not a demoniac body, our body is a human body. A human body is definitely superior for spiritual life compared to a demoniac body. A human body is far, far superior for cultivating spiritual life compared to a demoniac body. So if a demon can progress and come to this level, why we are not doing it? This is Bhagavatam is asking us this question. Why we don't take spiritual life seriously? This is why this question is coming here. That why Vrutrasura has been shown is for this reason. That an asura who is born in a demoniac nature, even he through the process of bhakti has come to this level of attachment to Krishna. And we who have got a human body, who have got a better opportunity as Krishna says later on in the Bhagavadam and also in the other places, that what does he say? He said that Brahmava Lokadushanam Udamava Devaha. That he said that that this body, which is human body, is a different than all other bodies. Why? Brahmava Lokadishanam. It has got the capacity to develop spiritual life. That is the beauty of this body. It has got the capacity to develop spiritual life. And that body, if you do not utilize for that purpose, whereas a demon's body is not suitable for spiritual life because of the Rajogunam in that body. Whereas in our body, there is the Sattugunam also can, if we cultivate Sattugunam, it will stay. And we can come out of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Whereas in the demon's body, it is very difficult. It is by the very birth itself, it is meant for Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, therefore, a demon is shown here that even he has come through bhakti process and developed bhakti towards Krishna in that way. So what about us who have got this opportunity that വൃക്ഷാൻ സൃപാൻ ധൃതപശൂൻ തൈസ്തേരദുഷ്ടഹൃദയ പുരുഷം വിധായ that after creating 8.4 million different species taistai adushta hridaya purusham vidhaya that lord brahma has become still unhappy even after creating all other different bodies why adushta hridaya he was not happy about that because purusham vidhaya brahma avalokadishanam udamapadevaha that when he got this human body when he succeeded in manufacturing this human body by krishna's grace Krishna gave that benediction to Brahma to bring this human body out. Brahma got satisfied. Why? Brahma avalokadishanam udamapa devaha. That in this body, it is possible to inquire about the truth, inquire about God, inquire about Krishna. It is possible only in this body. We forget all the time this point. We think, oh, next life we will get it. Next life, who knows what we will get? What body we will get, we don't know. Even if we get a body, where we will eat, where we will take birth, we don't know. And what kind of environments we'll get, we don't know. So, there is no guarantee that you will get another opportunity to develop Krishna consciousness, what we have got in this body right at this point in time. That's why it is said like that, Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamavadevaha. So, otherwise, that the people who normally ignore that, that is also condemned in the Bhagavatam very seriously. Bhagavatam says about that. As an example is given, that in the olden days, when the in the villages and all that, they had to cut the wood. They'll take a huge long saw and they'll start sawing the wood to cut it into pieces. Sometimes what happens is, they didn't have the electric saw those days. It was all hand saw. So that means a lot of time it used to take. So what happens once it happened like this, that when they start sawing the wood, sometimes they sow for a whole long length of time and then they get tired, or by evening comes they want to stop the work. So what they'll do, they'll put a piece of wood inside the wood that is sown to keep it apart so it doesn't go back again. They'll put it as a small piece of wood inside and keep it like that, so that wood stays split like that. Next day when they come back, they'll continue to saw from there again. So, one monkey saw this, and monkey thought there is something funny about this. He comes there and he sits on this wood, which was being sawed. While sitting, he has got his long tail. So that tail fell inside this gap between the wood. It fell inside that. And then monkey, seeing it very funny, he tried very hard to pull that small piece of wood which was separating it. He pulled it out, managed to pull it out. What happened? The tail got stuck in that. He couldn't come out of that. You must have seen these pictures or cartoons or something like that. So, this is our situation also. We have come here and we see so many things interesting in this world and get entangled in everything and then don't want to come out of it. And then thinking that this is good, this is everything is good. But Krishna is saying there that you do not know that a precious opportunity that has been given to you, you have lost it, like the monkey. So there is not much difference between that monkey's intelligence and our intelligence also. We also do exactly the same thing like the monkey is doing. So many commitments in this world, so many inquiries to inquire about, we want to know everything, what goes on in the whole rest of the world. And if there is nothing, we'll fill it up with something else. If we can't find time for fill up. Therefore, there is no time for spiritual life. There is no time for Krishna consciousness. This is the situation with most of us. Most of us, this is the situation. We'll find interest in millions and odd things. And then we will say we are dovetailing it with Krishna, we are linking it with Krishna, we are doing this for Krishna, that for Krishna. So many excuses you will find. I want to complete my sense gratification basically, and therefore I'll use Krishna also there for that purpose. So, anyway. So, Krishna is saying here, Kavi Maharshi is saying here, Raja, King has asked this question. അധൈത ഐശ്വരീമായാം ദുസ്തരാം അകൃതാത്മഭി taranjanya stuladhiyaha maharsham idamuchyadam. From this you can see why we are referred to as stuladhi. Stuladhi means this kind of mind which is engrossed in different kinds of material activities where nothing comes out of it at the end. Just eating, sleeping and maintaining the body in this world. So, in reply to that, Prabuddha is speaking here. The first one is spoken by Prabuddha. Prabuddha Uvacha, verse number 18. Shri Prabuddha Uvacha. Karmanyarabhamananam Dukkahatyai Sukhayaja Pashyel Paga Viparyasam Mithuni Charinam Nranam. Prabuddha's analysis of us. Prabuddha is analyzing us very nicely. He says, Karmanyarabhamananam Dukkahatyai Sukhayajam. Always starting new karma. Something new to do. Something new to do. And with that way, developing more and more new endeavor all the time. New enterprises. And what else is there? Dukkahatyai Sukhayajam. Dukkahate, to get rid of the distress in life and to make life happy. That's why he is doing this. Karmanyarabhamananam Dukkahate Sukhayaja Pashyel Paga Viparyasam. But in the process of doing that, what normally happens is Paga Viparyasam. Paga Viparyasam means the result is always negative. It's not coming in a positive way. Sometimes we work so hard and endeavor in all different directions, but always the results are not coming as expected. Results are not coming as expected. Mithuni charinam nranam. And at the same time, because he is in the householder life, he has no choice. He has to go on doing this forever. That's what he is saying there. Then, karmanyarabhamananam dukkahatyai sukhayaja pashyel pagaviparyasam mithuni charinam nranam. Mithuni charinam nranam. In the householder life, this is what will happen. Then, so Prabuddha, when he starts replying this question from the king, king asked this question, how to cross over Maya. That was the question from the king. So, in answer to that, Prabuddha is saying that, first try to understand this, he says, that in order to cross over Maya, there is no other way except to develop devotion, bhakti. That's the only way to get over Maya. That Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Mamevayam prabadyande maya medam tarandide. Prabannam. Prabannam means to surrender to Krishna. Maya medam tarandide. Then you can cross over Maya, Krishna says. So Prabuddha is also saying exactly the same thing. First of all, bhakti has to come, develop in a person's heart. Therefore, he says here, first of all, What will cause devotion to develop in a person's heart? What are the things that will help a person to develop devotion? To develop devotion. These things are explained here. Because if one understands what Prabuddha is saying, then we also have to look at our own life. Is a devotion can build up in the situation what we are engaged in? So, the first quality that is to happen is that Pashyel Paga Viparyasam Idhuni Charinam Nranam. First things to happen is to detachment from sense objects. Detachment from sense objects. And this state of mind is called Vairagyam. So unless one has Vairagyam or that renunciation and detachment in mind, one cannot inquire about a spiritual master. This is the basic qualification before going to a guru. Because it is from Vairagyam that the inquiry begins, not from anything else. And Vairagyam comes from at that stage. He says here that this extreme attachment to sense enjoyment and material life, one has to loosen up that hold. One has to loosen up that tight attachment. Only when that grip is loosened, one can inquire about the truth. And that is the time the desire for finding a spiritual master comes. Actually, this is such a science of this spiritual master and the disciple, and that relationship. From Srimad Bhagavatam, if you study it and understand it, you will notice it, that what a noble relationship that is. And how important it is that relationship to grow. Important it is that relationship to grow. And in that relationship, before any relationship to build up, what qualifications are required for the disciple and what qualifications are required for the spiritual master. Both are discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ekadashi Skandam will tell us in what mood a relationship should start, how the relationship should start. So here it is spoken that whatever intelligent person he is, that if he wants to cross over the ocean, unless he has a person who can help him to get through that, he cannot do it. Similarly, one who has to cross this ocean of material existence also, he has to take the help of a person. So that is discussed in the next four verses. That is discussed in the next four verses. That means 19, 20, 21 and 22. In four verses, that is what is discussed, what should one do. So in other words, the purpose of approaching a spiritual master is this: how to cross over this ocean of material life. That is what is the only topic to be discussed between the spiritual master and the disciple. There is no other topic to be discussed. The disciple should approach a spiritual master at the time when his head is in fire. He is in fire. What means that he has caught fire in his head and is looking for water to quench that fire. That kind of inquiry should be there in his heart when he goes to a spiritual master. How to get out of the cycle of birth and death. By now, he should have cultivated so many qualities. What are they? Bhagavatam says like that. First thing to begin with, he has studied Shastram. And from Shastram he has learned that I am not this body. He is very much convinced on that. But he has not realized it yet. Atma, Anatma, Vastu Vivekam. He has got that deep realization, understanding in him, that certainly I am not this body. This realization is in him. Then the second thing he has got is, he has developed, after studying Shastram, he has also understood that Vairagyam is necessary. In order for spiritual life to succeed, Vairagyam is essential. Vairagyam is essential. Ihamutra bhala bhoga viragam. That he is able to develop the renunciation in this world from all material objects. That is also developed in him to a very high degree. Apart from that, he has also developed that strong qualifications for shamam, damam, titiksha, uparadi, shraddha, samadhanam. They are the six different things what is spoken in the Bhagavatam later, saying that shama means control of the mind, control of the senses, tolerance to all material problems, material life, difficulties, and desire to fixing his mind purely on the goal of going back home, back to Godhead. And the seriousness for required for that, shraddha, and also samadhanam. That means able to keep the mind absorbed in the truth. These are qualifications for a disciple, Shastram is saying. If one understands the qualification of the guru in the Bhagavatam and qualifications of the disciple in the Bhagavatam, if such a guru and such a disciple meet each other, there will from there come out what is called liberation. If the disciple has these qualifications and the spiritual master has these qualifications, and if they meet with each other and if their relationship is built up, from that person will get liberated. This is the conclusion of Bhagavatam about this. That how important it is that in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says like this, that tasmal gurum prabhadyeda jityasu shreyam uttamam shabde pare cha nishnadam brahmani upasham ashrayam. This is the verse that is mentioned like that. That otherwise it is not going to work. It is not going to work. Because these are conclusions of the sages. None of us can change it. It is written eternally. It has worked throughout the past and it will work in the future also on this basis. Otherwise it will not work. So, tasmal gurum prabhadyeda. Therefore it says you should surrender to a guru. Who? Jijnyasu. One who is inquiring. Who has developed all these qualifications, he has come. Then, shabde pareja nishnadam. Shabda brahmam is, and the guru has to be fixed up and situated in that platform. Shabde pareja nishnadam brahmani upashamashrayam. Only such a person can get that person out of material existence. Otherwise, it is not possible. This is what Shastra says. And in order to know this, let us see what Rupa Goswami says about this. If you look at this book, Upadeshamritam, Nectar of Instruction, in the verse 5, Prabhupada will talk about the qualifications of a spiritual master. He says, one should not become a spiritual master unless he has attained the platform of Uttamadhikari. This is the basic qualification expected from a spiritual master. He has to be in the Uttamadhikari platform. And who is Uttamadhikari? Sarvabhudeshu yapashyel bhagavad bhavama almana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottamaha. He is Uttamadhikari who has come to that platform. Then Prabhupada says, a neophyte Vaishnava or a Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples. But such disciples must be on the same platform. And it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttamadhikari as a spiritual master. So, this principle of accepting a spiritual master and the disciple has been going on from time immemorial. It's not a new thing which has been and cannot be adjusted also based on time and place. Things like that. It is very difficult to do that because then the results won't be there. It cannot be there. Because before we plant any seed, we have to till the land, we have to plow it, we have to add certain fertilizer and make the land qualify for the seed to sprout. And this is exactly in the case of a disciple also. A disciple has to have that qualifications developed in him particularly, and then from that point, if something is done, that spiritual life will grow. Otherwise, spiritual life won't grow. It will stay like that, as it is. And then there will be all kinds of questions. Oh, I need some future gurus now. I need so many other gurus now. And I need that, I need this. You don't need anything. If the relationship in the very first instance, if it is proper, this wouldn't happen. But because it may not happening, that is where all the difficulties come. Then we are making alternative arrangements for that. That doesn't work easily like that. So here, it is said in the Bhagavadam, that there is a statement here which is a little bit more deeper than that. That's also, Prabhupada has mentioned that in the Bhagavad Gita also. In another place, he talks about that. That Parikshalogan Karmachidan Brahmana. This is from Mundaka Upanishad. This verse is taken. Parikshalogan Karmachidan Brahmano Nivedamayal Nastyagadakrudena. A person will come to spiritual life before he takes initiation and before he starts embarking on spiritual life. He should prepare himself. How should he prepare? Parikshalogan Karmachidan Brahmanaha. That he has pariksha, he has experimented with this world enough and he has understood that this is what the place I want to be. Or strong detachment has come in him and he has also realized that parikshalogan karmachidan brahmanaha, that executing karma in this world is not the answer to all my problems. In other words, by executing karma, I am not going to be happy in this world. This realization he has to come. That is the first step in that direction. And then Nivedamayal Nastagradakradena. He has decided to refrain from unwanted activities. Or in other words, his mind is strongly pulling him towards finding out the truth. In other words, that is the time when Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam can help him. Otherwise, you can distribute a lot of books, but they will take it, read it, and they will leave it there. Why? Because they have not done these things. What is necessary prior to that? They have not come to that point. Of course, sometimes by their good fortune or by Krishna's grace, sometimes it can happen also that one may take some interest after hearing about it. But so long as the mind and senses are completely anchored in material life, it is not possible to develop spiritual life in any way. Then it will all become simply a show. It will not have any effect. So that's why it is said, Nivedamayalna Sagradakradena, then what did it say? Tadvijnanartam Sagrum Eva Abhigachel. Only for that purpose. Tadvijnanartam, for the sake of knowledge, he should go to the Guru. For the sake of this spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization, he should approach a spiritual master. Tadvijnanartam Sagurum Eva Abhigachel. And what kind of spiritual master? Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Samilpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He should approach the spiritual master how? Samilpani. Samit means kushagras in the hand. It's a way of approaching spiritual master with humility. He should approach him. Shamilpani, that in his hands he should quote Shamit grass. And holding that, he should inquire from him very, very seriously about the goal of life. If you remember in Chaitanya Charitamritam, when Sanatana Goswami came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the way he was inquiring, that is the mood of a disciple, to inquire from a spiritual master. That is the way one should think about it. That should be the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. And Samilpani, when he is holding Shamit in the hand, about the spiritual master, he said, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Shrotriyam means he has mastered the Shrutis, Vedas, to such an extent that he knows the Shruti well, purport of all the Shrutis. He has understood everything very well. He has to be so learned. And Brahmanishtam, he should be fixed up. Brahmanishtam means he has realized all that. Such a person, if one approach for spiritual life and spiritual guidance, and a disciple who comes with this mood, if he approaches that spiritual master, that relationship, from that fire will come. Bhagavatam says like that later. Fire will build up from that, because it is purely an exchange of knowledge and question and answers from the spiritual master and the disciple, where they have come to such a level. Here, excessive vairagyam, detachment from material life, for the disciple side. From the guru side, excessive knowledge and realizations. When these two things meet, what else can happen? What else will come out from that? That is how spiritual life becomes successful. That's why spiritual life becomes successful. Dukkhanyalokya jandushvalam udidam vivegam koham acharya varyaha. After experiencing distress in this world, Dukkhanyalokya jandushvalam, that jandu, the living entity, the human being, he realizes his. What does he realize? Dukkhanyalokya jandu. Everywhere there is distress. Everywhere there is only distress at the end. But it is not possible. Maya won't allow you to realize this. Maya's nature is like that. What does Maya do? Maya will slap you on both the cheek from both sides, and then she'll put some chocolate into your mouth like this. This is what Maya does to us. Is it not? Is it not like that? That do we not experience this every day? Every second, sometimes we'll see, oh, this is going on well, that's going on well, everything is going on well. And then she'll slap you from both sides. And then when you are about to collapse, she'll say, have a little chocolate now. She says, puts it in. This is called Maya. Dukkhanyaloke jandushvalam uditam. From this, what should come? Vivegam. Vivegam means ability to discriminate, to see that Maya is doing this to me. Then what does he do? Acharya varya labdhva. He goes to Acharya, who is a realized soul, Uttama Adhikari platform, who is sitting there, goes to him. Labdhva tudru badatvam gunacharita gadhaha. From what does he inquire? He inquire from him, tudru badatvam. What is the principle about Krishna? Wants to understand Krishna. Tudrubadatvam gunacharidagadha ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. That when he start inquiring like that from him, he will start, that acharya who has already realized the tattvam, the truth, he will transfer that realizations unto him. Tulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. And immediately he will develop devotion in his heart, because he will see that the acharya has instructed him to develop Krishna consciousness. In other words, Labdhva tudrubadatvam gunacharidagada ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. Maya menam taritva paramasukhamaye yelkriva modidahe. All of us who are sleeping in the lap of Maya, Maya menam taritva paramasukhamaye. They're feeling very comfortable in the lap of Maya every day. Feeling very comfortable with that. How we will look at Krishna? How do we think about Krishna? It is not possible. Only it will happen when Twal Kriba Modidahe. Only when that Kriba or mercy comes from Krishna, only then this mind will turn to Krishna's side. Otherwise, this Maya is more than satisfying for us. We are satisfied with this Maya's happiness, what Maya is giving us. Throughout Bhagavadam, this is all what is discussed. There is nothing else discussed. Only to make us serious about spiritual life. Like Prahlada Maharaj also said the same thing, isn't it? What did he say? Naivo dvije paradurate vaidaranya tadviya gayana mahamrudam agnajitaha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. When he was talking about shoche tado vimukhache samindriyalma maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. When in his long praise to Narasimha Murthy, Prahlada Maharaj is saying there, Naive dvije paradurate vaidaranya tudvirya gayana mahamrudam agnajitaham. That instead of glorifying you, Prahlada is seeing Narasimha Murthy in front of him and saying to him that these people, these ordinary people, Naive dvije paradurate vaidaranya, they have no desire to cross over this vaidarani. Vaidarani means this river of distress. They don't have any desire in them. What can be done? So please do something about them. Prahlad is praying for on our behalf. They are not aware of your glories and your position. On the other hand, all they are absorbed in is only one thing. What is that? Their gratification of their senses. Vimukha chedasa, they have turned your mind away from you, and maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan, and they are just satisfied in their life of maya. In their life in maya, they are totally satisfied. That is why they are not turning their head towards you. That's how Prahlada said this to Narasimha Murthy at that point. So we have seen here that in the case of Prabuddha, Prabuddha is saying here that the first thing one who wants to cross over Maya is that he has to approach a spiritual master. Before he approaches a spiritual master, he should become qualified as a disciple. Krishna will talk about a disciple's qualities later in the Bhagavadam. When we come to discuss that, we'll see what is expected of a disciple. And when we read those verses, and when we think about the so-called disciples of this world, sometimes we wonder, where are we? And where is Srimad Bhagavatam? Because we all want to be successful in spiritual life, isn't it? We don't want to be losers at the end. But in order to be successful in spiritual life, that means we have to accept what Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita is telling us. If we ignore all these things and say that that everything my spiritual master will take care, I have handed over everything to him. Spiritual master says, I've got a disciple, he'll do everything. Now I've given him initiation, he'll do everything. So they are both left to each other. And what happens? After 25, 30 years, it's the same where the boat hasn't even left the shore. The boat is still anchored there. This is what will happen. It's nothing you can do about it. Because Bhagavatam is saying something, we are not taking it seriously. We are doing what we think it suits us like that. So it so happened once that one disciple got initiated. And he brought more disciples to get initiated. They all got initiated. And then after some time, the person who initiated them, he was sitting day and night and chanting his rounds. The spiritual master was chanting the rounds. So spiritual master had no time for anything. So somebody asked the spiritual master, why you are chanting so many, much more than before now? You never used to chant so much before. You had some time for others, but now you seem to have no time. So he says, I've initiated so many of them, nobody is chanting. So I'm chanting for them now. The spiritual, you handed over everything to him. You do it now. It's your, you have given me initiation, fine. I become your disciple, but you do the chanting also for me. The disciple is telling to the spiritual master. Spiritual master is saying to the disciple, look, I brought you into the system now. Now it's up to you what you want to do. You carry on and you will be alright with that. Will that agree? Bhagavatam will agree with such things. This is all our mental adjustments. That's all. That won't work. Tasmal gurum prabhadyeda jityaso shrayamutamam shabde parejanishnadam brahmani upashamashrayam. Then, parikshalogan karmachidan brahmanaha nivedamayal nastyagradakradandem tadvijyanartham sagurumeva abhigachel shosamilpani shrotrayam brahmanishtam. So all the qualifications of a spiritual master and the disciples are all well defined in the Ekadasha Skandham for our own understanding. And if we do not follow the codes, if we do not follow the standards and the instructions, then we can also only expect that much result from the process also. So here, in the first four verses, he is saying here that even while the material life, when we are living with the wife and children and the family and all that, that the results are not coming, then one does not give up the activities because the discrimination has not come to him. He is still thinking that I'm going to make my life successful, and in that way he continues with it. So there's a lot of things spoken about that in the next few verses about talking about the spiritual master's role, but because we are now 7:30, we'll stop it there. We'll continue next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.